Welcome to Journey to the Blue Sky. My name is Aaron.
My name is Patricia.
And we are going to discuss, well, I'm still trying to comprehend what we've just watched, to be quite honest with you, because, cast your mind back to when Pixar and Disney were pretty much at loggerheads with one another, and the relationship was not going all that well. And then we got the, quite frankly, the most bonkers announcement that we're going to get Toy Story 3, and then we saw, like, all the concept art that was going to come out for it about Buzz Lightyear being, defective and being recalled, and that was going to be Disney's idea of that. But thankfully, you know, common sense prevailed, and that never happened, and Pixar did go on to make Toy Story 3, and that became a very successful movie. And questions still remain to this day. What would have happened if Disney had gone through with what they were originally going to do and basically create a Toy Story movie in-house? Well, Disney have done it with Blue Sky Studios, and the result is Buck Wild. And I have to say, this is the most soulless and most weird, you know, just robotic thing that I've ever seen.
Yeah, so we already told you in the last episode about what happened with Blue Sky Studios. So around 2021, that was when Blue Sky Studios shut down after the purchase of Disney. Now, there's still a little bit of debate about what the situation of Blue Sky Studios was. Some people said that, you know, Blue Sky was already in a lot of debt, and then Disney was trying to help them out, and then they decided to shut down. Others said that Disney just wanted to use Blue Sky Studios so that they can be able to utilize their more popular franchises. The point is that now Blue Sky Studios as a studio is no more, and everything that is going to be done from this point onward is going to be done by Disney. And here we are, Adventures of Buck Wild, and this is going to be the first out of the post shutdown of Blue Sky Studios where we do see what they're capable of taking pre-existing properties and turn it into their own thing. And this is a Disney Plus exclusive, so this has not been released in theaters. And the premise of this is very bizarre. It focuses on Buck Wild, which, here's the thing, if it was Buck Wild from the third movie, we would be all for this. But if it was Buck Wild from the fifth movie, we'll be like, no, please die in a fire. And to make matters even so much better, sarcasm, the focus is on Crash and Eddie.
Yeah, like the two what we consider the worst characters in the Ice Age franchise.
Yeah. Who came up with this idea? Hey, guess what? We're going to have another Ice Age movie. Oh, is it going to be an Ice Age movie about misadventures of Manny, Diego, and Sid? Or maybe we should have a continuation of the first movie where they get to see the baby again. How about if we just make a movie about the two most annoying characters? Bravo, get a promotion.
Yeah, I can only imagine that, again, like, I'm not familiar with, like, all the development behind the scenes, things that were going on, but I can probably imagine they wanted to do something Ice Age related, and the only person they could get back was Simon Pegg, and I think that's probably where everything started to kind of fall apart with this project. I think when they realized that they weren't going to get anyone else back for this, and you can tell right off the, I mean, here's the thing about this. The Ice Age Adventures of Brock Wild was made in 2022, and it is computer animated like Blue Sky, you know, other movies have been in the past, but the problem is that this movie, you can tell right from the get-go, is not in line with what Blue Sky had for their vision. I mean, like, you can see how, you know, poorly produced some of the 3D animation is in the movements and in the jaggedness of what we're seeing here. And it just feels like this doesn't feel like it's a real thing. It just feels so bizarre when you're looking at it. And on top of that, like the bringing people who are effectively, you know, there to replace. I mean, you say, for example, you have, you know, Jim Carrey, who did The Mask, and then we have The Mask and animated series. And as we all know, Jim Carrey did not reprise his role as either The Mask or Stanley Ipkiss. So that was played by a different actor altogether. In this movie, they have effectively not brought back most of, if any, of the original voice cast, and have effectively replaced them with basically people who would have, you know, let's say, for example, like Disney decided to do a TV series based on Ice Age, and they brought in these actors. I would say, okay, fair enough. Like, you know, they're going to need to, you know, they're not making a movie, they're making a TV series, and so obviously there's going to be, you know, a lot of, like, you know, production costs that are going to be rammed down quite a bit. They're not going to bring back the celebrity voices to do all of this. That's fair enough. But this is what they've done here with Buck Wild. I think that just because it's a Disney Plus exclusive. I mean, like, keep this in mind. Like, and I get, like, this is different because obviously the pandemic and everything like that. You know, Turning Red was a Disney Plus exclusive, if you remember. But I mean, they still kept the quality standard that I would expect to see from a Pixar movie. In this situation, they've kept none of that.
No, none of that. The animation is far worse. The voice acting, even though it kind of sounds like the characters, it's more or less a facsimile of what you would expect because they brought sound-alikes. And the storyline is just way too ridiculous for its own good. They essentially decided to have the equivalent of a Darwinian Andross from Star Fox to be as our main bad guy.
Yeah, and it's just, it's, I mean, our bad guy in this movie effectively is just Dr. Robotnik, effectively, like, you know, or, you know, Zordrak from the Dreamstone, or, like, you know, Shredder from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, like, you know, it's, bad guy, you know,
yeah,
there's no complexity to this character whatsoever. On top of that, like, it's probably, like, one of the worst villains that I think we've seen so far. And, like, that's saying something for Blue Sky villains, because, you know, we've seen some pretty terrible Blue Sky villains in this.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Like, let's be honest. I mean, Blue Sky Studios has had a reputation of delivering not that great villains. They either have no motivation or they're just the most stock cliche villains that you could ever expect. I mean, like, you can count barely in one hand on any good Blue Sky Studios villains.
Yeah, but the fact that I think this is probably, Orson's probably, like, the worst villain, I probably imagine. But, I mean, whether he actually counts or not, because, like, this is not a Blue Sky, like, produced, you know, production. So it's, you know, this is a Disney, you know, production. So I guess maybe in Ice Age, maybe this is probably, like, the worst villain. But at the same time, you can't really say, because this is not, like, an officially an Ice Age movie. This is like, you know, if anything, a spin-off. Like, this is about Buck Wild.
Exactly.
So, like,
yeah.
It's that's another thing as well. Is this, like, part of, like, the main Ice Age lore? Is it? Because at the very beginning of the movie, they tell you about everything that's happened in Ice Age, effectively, which, you know, I wouldn't be opposed, like, again, but I don't know, like, the way I feel about the way that they retold the entire story, it makes me kind of feel like, you know, Disney kind of looked at, you know, their own audience and said, oh, no, nobody knows what Ice Age is here at the Disney, you know, in the House of Mouse, so we've got to explain it to everybody again.
Yeah, you know, or... I mean, I understand if it was, like, a movie that hasn't had a lot of, like, sequels in a long time, and so they're trying to catch up with their audience, which, here's the thing, like, we actually, you know, praise movies that do that, especially with movies that had a long series of sequels, because if you're going into a movie that is based off of a long franchise for the very first time, newcomers are going to be completely lost. And we understand that. I mean, we complained about the first SpongeBob movie, even though the series was around for a while at that point in time, it wasn't really easy for newcomers to get into, which is why we like the introduction of the second movie, because even though SpongeBob had been around for a decade at that point, it was able to ease followers into watching this movie, especially for those who didn't know anything about SpongeBob. I guess we're trying to do the same thing here with Ice Age. It's like, okay, you know, now that we have the franchise, now that we have the entirety of the Ice Age franchise, maybe there'll be some people who are watching Buck Wild and they would have no knowledge of the five movies. Okay, let's have this little introduction so that we can be able to catch up to people so that they can be able to understand what's going on. But the problem is that there are a lot of continuity errors in this. For example, okay, sure. We have Manny, Diego, Sid, Ellie, Crash, and Eddie. The other characters, such as Sid's grandma, Brooke, She-Ra, where are they? Now, we can assume that, you know, obviously Sid's grandma stayed in Geotopia, as we saw in the last movie, because, you know, she wanted to stay forever young and she was with the Shangri-Lama. I got that part. But she, and I guess Brooke, I can understand her staying in Geotopia too. Otherwise, she'll become an old sloth. Again, understandable. But She-Ra, did her and Diego break up or something?
I mean, at this point, I think, you know, I actually didn't actually ask about She-Ra at one point. I actually asked about some of the other stuff. I don't know. Maybe they were like, oh, She-Ra, like, oh, it might be like too close to She-Ra, Princess of Power, so therefore we can't really like have that character anymore. I don't know. Maybe it was probably about that.
And here's the thing. This is the only Ice Age movie in the entire franchise that Scrat is not in.
Yeah. So, I mean, here's the thing about this. Like, if they're going to do this, they should have just done a reboot. In my opinion,
I agree.
Like, you know, they should have just said, okay, this is going to be, you know, there's too many sequels now for Ice Age for everyone to catch up on. We're going to like do, this is our version of Ice Age. I would have accepted that.
Me too.
Like, you know, and done that. But the fact that they've gone with this direction, it's just baffling, because what is this? Is this a spin-off, or is it like part of the Ice Age franchise? Like, is it, oh, you know, if there's going to be any more Ice Age in the future, which, by the way, after going through this, I think I highly doubt there's going to be any more, you know, Ice Age, I think, after that. I think this is probably going to be it. But, I mean, is this going to be, if it is going to be some more Ice Age, I mean, is this, are we going to reference this movie again at some point? Like, it's just, I feel like I've left this movie probably more confused and less, you know, eager to see any more of Ice Age after this.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if this is supposed to be like Return of Jafar, in which they decided to do like this direct-to-video movie, and then shortly afterwards we had the Aladdin animated series. Is Buckwild supposed to be like a pilot, and if it becomes really successful on Disney Plus with a lot of viewership, they're going to make a Buckwild animated series?
You know, when you and me were watching this together, that's the first thing I said. You know, one of the first thing I said, like, you know, oh, hey, is this supposed to be, you know, a pilot for a TV series? And like, you know, is this Bell's Magic World all over again, effectively. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, oh, we're basically doing like three stories and like all of them crammed into like, you know, 1.5 hours.
Yeah, well, I mean, it didn't necessarily have that structure, but the practice, it definitely felt that way. Like, yeah, this was supposed to be like a pilot for a potential animated series.
Yeah, because, like, you know, you have, like, multiple stories. By the way, like, this isn't a criticism of, like, you know, the story structure. I mean, all, you know, movies have this. But, you know, you had, like, the whole thing of, like, you know, the herd looking for Crash and Eddie and, you know, wondering where they've gone. Then you have, like, the story of, like, Buck, you know, going with Crash and Eddie to, you know, obviously stop Orson. And then you have, like, the story between, you know, Buck and Z, you know, and the former superhero. By the way, they had a superhero team at one point, which, by the way, actually, it's a cool concept. Actually,
yeah.
So I don't fault that part of the movie at all.
I don't fault it either. It wasn't like completely out of nowhere, like the Cruise in, remember the Cruise in New Age where they introduced the Thunder Sisters that Graham was a part of? It's like, yeah, that was out of place because it doesn't sound like, you know, that would be like something that she would have done. I mean, it was like girl power. We need to save the guys from the monkeys. But here with this, it makes sense because, you know, Buck has been in a lot of adventures in the Lost World, and we can assume that at one point maybe he was part of a large team where they were trying to save, you know, the creatures from the Lost World and bring harmony and peace. I can get that.
Yeah. But, I mean, the difference between, I think, what they did in the Croods, I mean, I think what they tried to do in the Croods was they were trying to, like, push the idea of, like, oh, hey, what if we did this movie for the Croods? Like, you know, or this spin-off movie. Would you guys be into that? Or girls be into that, I should say? I think that's probably what it was aimed at. But yeah. This, I think it's, you know, they didn't really do anything to, like, you know, build this idea of, like, you know, Buck had his own, like, team of heroes. At one point,
no,
like,
they,
you know,
not
like
even not even remotely so, because from the third movie when we were first introduced to him, he was a loner, and he was this adventurous loner who was a little bit kooky, but yeah, I never really saw him as like somebody who would be part of a large group.
Well, I mean, like, I mean, the Joker had the Suicide Squad, didn't he? So, like,
I guess, you know, that's, you know, true. Yeah,
I mean, like, I mean, even loners can have their own groups, you know, eventually, like, when the story of the character, you know, commands it. I guess, you know, like, also, like, you know, look at The Undertaker in WWE. He had the Ministry of Darkness in the 90s.
Sure.
So, like, you know, so, you know, like, you know, people who end up being kind of like, you know, looking like lone characters do end up in groups at some point in time when the time allows, well, at least when the story allows it, at least. Mm-hmm. Anyway, we're getting way away from this movie.
Yeah, let's focus on Crash and Eddie. So yeah, they want to be able to become their independent selves. They feel like Ellie is too smothering and she doesn't allow them to do whatever they want. And so they decided they want to have the opportunity to be on their own. And obviously they said, no, this is a terrible idea because you don't know how to find food. You don't know how to make your own shelter and you don't know how to protect yourself from predators, which of course they don't. I mean, we've seen throughout the movies that they've been a part of, they have done absolutely nothing other than just do a whole bunch of stupid jokes. And whenever they get themselves in trouble, they get rescued.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I like the idea, like, you know, if we have to go in this direction, I mean, Crash and Eddie are terrible characters to begin with. I mean, the one thing I'll say about this movie is that at least they attempt to build character in them. At least.
Sure.
Like, you know, they're attempting to, like, make them, like, somewhat likable. It's just about it's executed terribly, like everything else in this movie.
Of course but, it is.
Unfortunately, you know, I like the idea of Crash and Eddie, you know, not being told that basically they're just, like, you know, they're immature teenagers, effectively. Like, you know, they can't look after themselves. And, like, so, you know, if they were going to go in that direction with these characters, they should have done a situation where, you know, they have the opportunity to, like, go out onto their own and, you know, try and, say, for example, like, you know, go to college or something, you know? Like,
it's like, you know, hey, what's the Ice Age equivalent of college?
I don't know. Like, well, they could make one. I mean, like, you look at all the other inventive stuff they've done in the Ice Age franchise. You couldn't say that they, you know, well, look at Finding Nemo. Like, you know, like, they had a school of fish.
Like, well, you know, I mean, but it's obviously based off of a pun as well, because a large group of fish is called a school of fish.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, like, you know, the way that the herd was going, I really thought they were going to, like, have, like, a more, you know, adapted society where, you know, like, they are having weddings, for crying out loud. Like, you know,
yeah,
you
weren't going to come. Yeah, I was thinking about that. I was literally thinking about that. In the last movie, they were in a large forest with a whole bunch of other creatures. And now in this one, they're by themselves again. What happened?
Yeah, like, I mean, I get it. Well, this is the thing. It's a spin-off. So, of course, you can only have, like, a certain amount of characters in a spin-off movie because, you know, the whole attention is obviously on Buck, because he's supposedly the main character of the movie.
Like, it literally does not start with Buck in his own movie, even though he's in the title. We have Ellie, who's the narrator, at least for the first bit and the last bit. Then we have Crash and Eddie, and then Buck comes into the picture.
Yeah, and you know, it kind of makes Ellie's, you know, beginning really, like, you know, like, why are you doing this? Like, it's just like, this is supposed to be a movie about Buck, and you know, he's the only, like, member of the original cast you were able to get back. Why would you not start it right off with Buck and Simon Pegg? And,
yeah, like, I mean, it would have
established him first, because he's exactly the main character of the movie.
Exactly. Like, you could have had him do the narration, like, of all the adventures that he's been a part of. Like, you know, you could have had him in the Lost World and fighting off against Rudy. By the way, Rudy is not in this movie, even though that he should have been, but we'll get to that later. You could have had him going off into the upper world and talking to the guys and, you know, trying to stop the asteroid. I mean, you could have referenced the third and the fifth movie right there, and we could have seen a whole bunch of other adventures that he was a part of that we didn't know of. But hey, that could lead into an animated series, eh? Yeah. Because that's clearly
Better, just isolate the rest of the Ice Age cast altogether, because you can't get the voice actors back, and just concentrate on Buck and bring those a bunch of new characters like Z, like Orson, like you know, everyone else in the Lost World. Establish that world.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. Now, if you want to have, like, a little moment in which you get to, like, pan toward the main characters and then go down, and then that would be the focus on these, on the Lost World characters, great. That way we'll know that the focus is not going to be above the surface. It's going to be below in the Lost World. At least a little nod would be just enough, so that way we can be able to, you know, distance ourselves from the other characters, because they've already had their time in the spotlight. It's Buck's turn. But no, we just have to cram everybody in there, because maybe they felt that Buck couldn't carry his own movie.
Yeah, it's just, well, why bother in the first place then?
Because they had the rights to.
And yeah, and look what's happened. Like, yep. this is a car wreck. It really is. Like, it's just, I mean, We'd like to go into the story, but to be quite honest with you, like, it's a pretty standard story when you really think about it, with just too many complexities involved in the same time. Like, you know, it's Crash and Eddie basically going on, like, you know, a boys to men kind of story. Buck Wild gets, you know, involved, you know, and then he has his own, like, you know, you find out he has a super team, you know, where that, and half of them end up getting killed, and Z's the and him are the only surviving members, and they have to get back together, stop Orson, because he's come back. And the way that they dealt with Orson, you know, he's like a stereotypical, like, you know, villain sort of thing. Like, you know, he believed in, you know, that, you know, there should be, you know, chaos, and he should be the one who basically takes over everything.
Yeah,
Muhammad, bad guy.
exactly.
Like, it's just, you know, there is no risk, there is no, you know, there's no creativity in what's being done here. Again, it just feels like, you know, Blue Sky has died, and Disney took the corpse of Blue Sky and started parading it around the graveyard, expecting to entertain anybody. And really, it's like, if anything, it's just gonna have some people looking with, like, you know, very, you know, awkward stares. You know, some people are just terrified of what they're doing, and some people are just kind of just shaking their heads in disappointment, saying, "Oh, look how sad this looks,"
It
you
does
know.
look sad. While the entire animation community is like mourning of the loss of Blue Sky Studios, Disney is just dancing in their grave saying, we can do whatever we want now.
No, I mean, it's not dancing in the grave. It's parading the corpse around the place and horrifying everybody. Like, it's disgusting. Like, you ever seen that's a Robot Chicken sketch? You know, Jasper the douchebag ghost, and yeah,
Yes.
he brings, like, the, you know, the grandmother to life. Like, that's what they're doing with the Blue Sky right now. Like,
Yeah,
that.
instead of letting it pass away with whatever dignity that Blue Sky had left, they're just going to bring it back up and just parade it around because they want to be able to make extra money.
Yeah, and so yeah, I mean, it's just this. By the way, Orson has his ability to control these raptors and using fire, and which I don't know. I mean, like, why is it that he is, you know, now the Lord of the Flame when Sid was the one who accidentally discovered fire? I don't know. They don't care, and so I guess there's no reason to ask that question too heavily, I guess. But it's just it's yeah, there's nothing really I can say to everybody to encourage them to watch this movie, let alone, like, be intrigued by it in a
Yeah.
way. It's
A
just
and there's, you know, and another thing that they decided to put into this movie was, hey, we're going to have all of these references for people who remember the last Ice Age movies, which you shouldn't do, by the way. You have to be able to let a movie stand on its own. I mean, like we said before, this is supposed to be a spin-off movie focusing on Buck Wild. You know, focus on all of the stuff that he's done as opposed to like putting in references to the previous movies, which, by the way, I mean, I thought this was supposed to be like a standalone feature for people to ease themselves into. I mean, that's what literally what happened in the beginning of the movie. But then you
well,
have
this is the
other
problem.
characters.
Like, this movie doesn't know what it wants to be. It doesn't know whether it wants to be a spin-off with Buck. It doesn't know whether it wants to be a sequel to the other Ice Age movies. It doesn't know whether it's you know, gonna, like, start the story again and basically just have it with the basic premise cast, or it doesn't know what it wants to do. And that's the thing. Like, there's no direction here about
Yeah.
where you want to go creatively with this movie. And it's just yeah, I mean, this thing just exists because Ice Age exists, I get the feeling.
Yeah, and you would think that they, you know, because it's the Lost World, they would bring back, you know, elements from the Lost World, but no, they didn't even do that right either. Like the entrance to get into the Lost World involved a very, very long ditch that had to be crossed in a bridge filled with laughing gas. But no, instead we have just a little tiny ditch that you just had to jump over. There's no laughing gas. It's easy for you to get into, and then you're poof, you're there. The whole point of it being the Lost World was that it was difficult for you to get in there, and they just stumbled on it by accident when Sid brought the three eggs up on the surface to hatch them, and you know, pretending like he's their mother because he was jealous of Manny and Ellie having a baby. And then we had to get the mother T-Rex involved, and so that's the whole reason why we even have a Lost World. Oh, and speaking of the mother, yeah, you would think that Rudy, a major threat that was in the third movie, would be a part of this one. No, he's not there. Instead, we have to resurrect the Mama T-Rex from the third movie as like the main way that we're able to stop the raptors.
And even then, they wasted our opportunity as well.
Yeah, they wasted the opportunity. It's like, I just don't understand. Like, there are so many little things that they could have easily fixed, but they just decided not to.
Was this a cash grab? I mean, it can't be because it's on Disney Plus. Because, like, you know, so they've already got the money already. So, like, I mean, what were they attempting to try and do here?
I don't know.
With this film, it's so confusing. And it's just, how can, I'm sorry, I never thought I would, in the world, years, I started doing podcasting, I started doing talk radio back in around 2006, 2008. I never would have thought that I would come towards a subject matter where I'd be almost lost for words about how bad it actually is. And here we are at the Ice Age Adventures of Buck Wild. And I'm just totally struggling to put into words about how terrible this thing actually is.
Yeah, you know? I'm just baffled that this even exists.
It's almost insulting when you think about it. All the stuff that we've been through with Blue Sky Studios, like, you know, it's, we've had so many, you know, good movies, like the Peanuts movie, for example. Like, you know, it's the magnum opus, I think, of the Blue Sky, you know, collection. And the fact that we've had, like, so many other great Blue Sky movies that, you know, you can listen to, you know, in this series, you know, it's just a shame that this is their legacy. That, yeah. That, you know, Disney has decided to, you know, to do. And it's just, if anything, it is quite insulting.
It is. I mean, Blue Sky Studios already dragged the Ice Age franchise into the ground by themselves. And Disney is, instead of letting the series die in whatever dignity it had left, they decided to continue on and sink it even lower.
Yeah. By the way, Simon Pegg, who is Buck, and Urkesh Amobukta, and Justina Machado, who play Austin and Z, respectively, they are basically, you know, the only either new or returning cast.
Yeah, because everybody else, like we said before, are sound-alikes for the previous established characters because they couldn't bring in, you know, they couldn't bring in all the other major characters, voice actors to reprise their roles. They didn't bring back Ray Romano, Queen Latifah, John Leguizamo, Dennis Leary. They didn't even bring back Sean William Scott and Josh Peck to voice as Crash and Eddie.
I mean, you're Disney. You couldn't bring these guys back.
I understand because it was the pandemic. Everybody was suffering from major money loss. And we already know about the dumpster fire, what happened when Bob Chapek took over. So I can kind of excuse that, but it's Disney. You're a billion-dollar corporation, and you couldn't even, like, you know, at least have the dignity of bringing, like, one or two of the major voice actors back?
Yeah, and the only person they managed to bring back is Simon Pegg. I wonder how Simon Pegg feels about this.
That's a really good question. It makes me wonder if he's one of two camps when it comes to being an actor and, you know, being in a lot of movies. He's either a job's a job, I'm going to take this role because, you know, I need the money so I can eat and survive, especially with what, you know, Hollywood is going through with all the major strikes. Or B, you know, he probably thought, oh, you know, this is an Ice Age movie. You know, I liked voicing as Buck. This will be a lot of fun. And then when he probably saw the final product, he was like, what was I thinking?
Yeah, I'm just, you know what, I'm actually generally going to see if there is, you know, there was saying, Simon Pegg says voicing Ice Adventures Book Wild, oh wait, it's just a video, so I'm not going to go into, like, videos in this topic, but,
Yeah, but the point is that,
okay, Disney... I don't, until I've read it, I don't know what Simon Pegg's, you know, reception, you know, was to the movie or how he feels about it, so I can't speak for him.
All right, then. Yeah, so even the animation is super inconsistent. I mean, we already knew from the get-go that since Blue Sky Studios shut down, they were not going to animate this movie. And so they had to get the people behind the Diary of a Wimpy Kid movies to do that. And so the animation was already choppy from the beginning, and they actually had a lot less people working on it, working from home because it was during the pandemic. And there's some parts of it that look really inconsistent. Like there are some parts of the movie that are a little bit choppy. And then there's some parts of the movie where you get to see the fur of the characters. Some of it is, you know, blowing in the wind when they're flying up in the air, and the other ones are stagnant. And then when their characters are walking around in the snow, there's no footprints when they're walking, but then when they need to track them down, there are footprints in the snow. So, yeah, there's a lot of inconsistencies.
Mm-hmm. So, the music also is, you can't reel. There's not, I mean, usually, like, there would be, like, you know, a mainstream song, or they'd be, like, you know, like a pop song or something like that. That would usually, like, you know, come on, you know, during a montage, but there's nothing. It's just generic, you know, movie music, effectively.
Yeah, I mean, the reason why is because they brought a new composer into this movie, Batu Sunir. So it's not done by David Newman, and it's not done by John Powell. So they had somebody else come in to do the music, and it's as generic and bland as you can expect it to be.
Batu Sunir, he does not have a Wikipedia account saying where he tell how well-known he is for his music. So
we can't see about all the other previous stuff that he was a part of. In fact, I can probably say the same for some of the other
voice
actors.
Like, you know, to be fair to the voice actors, they actually do have, like, you know, IMDBs and, like, you know, things like that. Like, unfortunately, you know, I'm pointing this out as well. Like, some of them do not have very good resumes. Like, you know, I'm seeing, like, the Smurfs 2 and, like, you know, video games and, like, various other ones. And don't get me wrong. Like, you know, you got to do what you got to do in order to, like, you know, make a living as a voice, you know, actor. I'm not saying that at all, but I'm just saying, like, it's you know, and don't get me wrong, like, you know, Lou Romero was actually an animator before. Obviously, he went to do on, you know, did Linguini and Ratatouille, and that's, like, one of my my all-time favorite Pixar movies. So I'm not saying anything in regards to that, but I'm just saying, like, you know, for something as big as Ice Age and the fact that it was, like, you know, predecessed by, you know, celebrity voice celebrity voices and, you know, music that was also, you know, up there with, you know, some of the big major motion pictures, the fact that it's kind of like Ice Age has, like, descended into this is very sad when you look at it. So, you know, I'm nothing wrong with newcomers coming into the fray, but within those newcomers, there usually is, you know, a mixture of, like, you know, veteran, other, like, you know, top quality voice actors that are in there. Again, not, you know, doing this as an insult to any other, you know, voice actors out there who do a really incredible job, but this is Ice Age we're talking about. Like, you know, like, this is not Ice Age the video game. This is not Ice Age, like, you know, the TV series. This is not Ice Age the the game on your app, or, like, you know, whatever. This is supposed to be one of the movies, or supposedly supposed to be, like, either one of the spin-off movies or one of the movies that's in the Ice Age franchise, which then carries on the story of the Ice Age, you know, thing. Like, you know, it's the fact that it's turned into this is just, it's just wrong.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah, I don't think we have really much to say about this movie. Let's just rank it.
Okay, then. Here's the thing about this. Like, there are some good ideas here, you know, with Book, you know, and Z, you know, clashing with their ideologies. The villain is Stark. We're focusing on the wrong characters, in my opinion, for Ice Age, for Crash and Eddie. In fact, Crash and Eddie or any of the other Ice Age characters really didn't need to be in this. This could easily been about Book, and you could have stuck in, like, some other supporting cast to, you know, replace, you know, the other Ice Age, you know, characters who you couldn't get the voice actors back for. The music is uninspiring. The animation is just, good grief. Like, it's a massive climb down from what Blue Sky Studios was giving us. I thought that the, you know, what Blue Sky were doing, you know, from Ferdinand up to, you know, Spies in Disguise, I thought their animation was top-notch, and it's a shame that they went, you know, by the wayside, because I would really look forward to what the next. The next thing, you know, we had Nimona, and that was fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, and it was just, they were missing out so much.
Yeah, that's exactly what we've been talking about with Blue Sky throughout this point in the retrospective, is that even though that their stories were pretty mediocre, even though that their characters were stock, their animation was what made them stood out, is that they continue to get better and better and better throughout each film that they've ever released. From the beginnings of Ice Age, when they were a little bit rough compared to what Pixar and DreamWorks were doing, to Nimona, which is one of the most amazing looking animated movies that we've seen so far throughout even this year and throughout anything that we've ever seen so far in our lives. So
yeah, everyone in the animation community right now is pushing for Nimona to win an Oscar. They really are.
They are.
I was fully support that, even though it's a Netflix movie.
Well, I mean, Pinocchio won last year, and that was a Netflix movie.
Exactly, yeah. But there's been a huge debate about, you know, shouldn't it come out in the theaters before we start saying, like, you know, Academy Awards? But I mean, that's a different topic for a different podcast. But anyway, going back to my rating. So with all this said, I mean, Ice Age Adventures of Buck Wild, unfortunately, is not the predecessor to, you know, the Ice Age franchise. And quite frankly, I think it's pretty insulting. So with that, unfortunately, I have to say 2.5 out of 10. Mm.
I'm going to say the same thing, 2.5, because you would think that a movie about Buck Wild would be focusing on Buck Wild and his amazing adventures. But no, we had to stick Crash and Eddie in there, who didn't need to be there. And also, we had to have a lot of stock things. We had to have a stock villain. We had to have a stock story. And just a lot of... like a lot of errors. Like the animation is cheaper, the music is pretty uninspired, the voice acting is very distracting, especially since we've already come to establish what they already sound like from 5 movies. And yeah, I would just say that it should have ended with the last movie. It should have ended with Collision Course, because yes, that movie was awful and it ruined Buck. And it, you know, went all over the place with the characters and the story. Yes, but at least it ended off with Peaches and Julian getting married and with the characters kind of having their last moments of hurrah. But here it's just, no, we just need to continue on with a story that shouldn't have even been existing. So, yeah, for the sake of that, 2.5 out of 10.
Yeah, what a shame, you know.
Yeah,
so
but at least we have some sliver of hope for the Ice Age franchise, because tune in next time as we're going to be talking about the very last thing that Blue Sky Studios was working on before they shut down, and that is Scrat Tales.
Okay, but until then, take care and bye bye for now.
Bye everyone.